Hello, and you're very welcome to a very festive Gadget Show special podcast.
Isn't it great to be here with an extra furry Susie Perry, proof that the Yeti exists? How do I know that? Because obviously you found him, shot him, and nicked his coat.
It's my Christmas outfit.
Oh, it's lovely. I don't know whether to stroke you or get on with the podcast. I'll probably do the latter. Yeah. I'm Jason Bradbury. Great to see you. And yes, we're going to be decking the halls with all kinds of festive gadgets and treating you to some Christmas audio magic in the shape of our show partner, JBL's Tour Pro 3s.
Yeah, so get the old crystal clear sound going and you'll be dancing around the Christmas tree.
So grab your mulled wine and your nuts because we've got a cracker.
So this week, as a very festive special treat, are you anticipating mistakes?
I'm just so
on my
excited.
End? We've got the marvellous John Bentley.
Yay! Oh, gosh. Hello. Well, I mean, very kind of you to invite me. I'm delighted to be here.
And a fine Christmas jumper you've got on there, John.
Thank you.
This reminds me of all those incredible Christmas specials that we did.
I know.
But before I get too carried away, there is one more person around the special Gadget Show
there's
podcast Christmas table.
Yes, there's one.
It's me!
Oh!
Hey!
I'm over here, look! Otis is waving.
Just for those of you listening thinking, what is... Oh, God, Jesus Christ. What is going on? What's going on is the O-Dog is joining us, Otis, but because of childcare commitments, if I'm not mistaken, you're doing it virtually.
Yeah. I said childcare. I just didn't want to go on the train.
That's fair enough.
You're off my Christmas card list.
Oh.
I can't believe you're not in the studio with us. That would have been lovely.
Yeah, look, life. Life is lifing.
Can I just say, we don't even know if it's actually Otis. It could be AI Otis.
Well, it's a very colourful Otis. I was interested in... What can you explain your Christmas attire?
Yeah, so I basically pull this shirt out once a year to keep my mum happy because it's like traditional Ghanaian patterning. So twice this year.
Beautiful.
So you're in special company. The truth of it being, if you will indulge me, all the Christmas decorations are in the room next door, which isn't lit and it's full of spiders.
Right.
And the Christmas decoration box is right at the back.
Keep away from those spiders, okay. Mate.
Can we come back to you in a minute? Okay. John, what have you been up to?
One thing I have been up to, actually, and I noticed with your partners here at JBL, and I've been also testing these Tour Pro 3 headphones. I've done rather a long video on...
We've seen it. It's excellent.
On YouTube, and I actually found them very impressive, really, because I'm more of an over-ear person myself,
yes.
Really. But I did find these sufficiently good in terms of the excellent sound quality that I was using them in preference to my over-ear headphones, even when doing things like watching telly, where you wouldn't normally necessarily use in-ears, I find. But
It was a thorough review. Yeah. It was a thorough review. And actually, I couldn't be bothered to read the manual. You were my manual. You were my intro into my Tour Pro 3s a few weeks ago. But look, as you know, this podcast would not be the ever more successful endeavour that it's becoming. It's being talked about. We're getting more and more listeners and viewers every week. If it wasn't for all of you lot, okay, our lovely viewers and listeners, and each week we like to start, don't we, with a few comments. Mm. Mm. So what have people been saying?
Yes,
Jonathan?
Well, I've got one here from YouTube. It's from at SpencerM8629, who asked the question... home automation is all the rage now. What are your thoughts? Do you get involved? And if so, using what ecosystem?
Good grief. That's a bit technical, isn't it?
I'd like to say that I have got an ecosystem, but I actually haven't got a home at the moment, so I can't get involved with this.
You can't have a smart home if you've not got a home,
exactly.
Can you? No. You could have a smart sort of caravan, couldn't you?
Could have a smart... Well, I would. That would actually be great.
Be an upgrade.
I'm in the bedroom. I grew up in at my dad's house.
Yeah, you need a smart sofa.
Oh, gosh.
I need a smart something.
Well,
what about you, John?
Well, I feel as though we're just at the point where it's going to become more useful, because my problem with the home kits, the home set, all these various systems, and even matter, is that they don't do quite enough to be useful. You know, I really don't want... I'm not that interested in my changing my heating controls and things, but what I am interested in is something that's clever enough to know what the tariffs are going to be later on in the evening and know whether it wants to heat things up in advance so it will save me money.
Yes.
Which most of them aren't quite that. But I know the Tardo Balance one, for example, has just been launched, claims to be able to do that. But it's and they've actually negotiated with enough electricity suppliers to get that sort of synergy. When that happens, they say at the moment it's only working with heat pumps, which is a whole other question, of course.
Yeah.
But once they get into that level, I feel as I really want to be using it. But at the moment, I haven't really found that I don't tend to bother to switch my lights on that way.
Because laundry is the thing as well, isn't it? If you want to do your laundry later in the night when it's cheaper, those kind of things I would like to happen automatically. Oh, what about you?
I've got some smart stuff, mostly light bulbs. I do have an intelligent heating setup as well, allowing me to create zones. But John, what you said about having a setup that's intelligent enough to get you heating up your home at the right time without any other interaction other than, you know, perhaps the AI figuring it out would be quite interesting. I find that not all of the bits of kit want to talk to each other, but a great platform for unifying them all is Amazon's Alexa. As soon as you set something up, it finds it and you're able to interact with it either through the dedicated app or your voice. So my home is at the beginnings of being smart, but not super intelligent just yet. Got some stuff.
Yeah, I've played around with all the cameras you can think of over the years, yeah. Ring doorbells and equivalents, and the Nest thermostat, which I still utilise. Again, it's about... although I'm kind of over-monitoring my house, I'm just not that bothered anymore. Just go and answer the door, someone knock on it. But the Nest thermostat I find to be really intuitive and really useful. I guess I'm waiting for the same sort of functionality from things like my Google Home. I've got Alexa, but on the TV, but I use Google Home in the kitchen, and it's like having a little kitchen assistant, but it's a really dumb assistant. I want OpenAI, GPT-4, Apple Intelligence style level of feedback so that I can have proper content, proper conversations. I'm just waiting for that AI-ification of the home before I get excited again about home smart technology.
Okay, so Spencer M8629, I hope that answered your question. Oh, have you got one for us?
Yeah, I've got one, a really nice one from that hairy guy on YouTube.
That must be Jason.
Yeah, I've been writing to ourselves.
They say, I'm just really happy to see you guys back on screen, whatever format it takes. The Gadget Show was something I'd look forward to of an evening. I'd eat my tea, most of us drink it, and watch the show. I feel like I've grown up with it. You were only rivaled by Robot Wars.
Oh, wow, that's high praise. What an incredible show Robot Wars was.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Wow, that's absolutely lovely.
And I've always felt like we were a bit sort of top gear of gadgets. That's what people used to describe us.
I think we aspired to that.
Yeah,
I don't know whether we achieved it.
No, I don't know whether we ever quite got there, but we did the challenges, didn't we?
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the banter and all of that kind
And about
of stuff.
A fifth of the budget, so not a
not
bad
even,
job.
But we made it work, and we made it work very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you for that hairy guy. I've got one here in reference to the Gadget Show not coming back onto TV.
Yeah.
This is Carl G from YouTube, and he said, my heart just broke. That's when Jason and Susie said there wouldn't be any more of them on a new Gadget Show on that old school thing called a TV.
Yeah, do you remember that thing? You used to sit in front of the lounge.
Yeah, people used to all watch together. but luckily for us diehard fans, we can see you on YouTube and hopefully
Amen.
More of John and Otis in the future too.
Amen.
Well, Carl G, here they are.
Carl G sent another message, believe it or not, and it's one for you, John. This came in off the back of your Tour Pro 3 deep dive video, which you mentioned earlier, and he said, JB L equals John Bentley legend.
Oh gosh, well, it's very extremely flattering. I'll never be able to look at that brand again.
There you go.
In the same light.
I think
we
can all agree with that. Well, thank you so much for all of your lovely comments. Keep them coming. Shall we crack on with the festive chaos, chaps?
Ooh, let's.
I think we should. Mm.
Right, in typical Gadget Show Christmas special fashion, the rest of the episode is absolutely packed with festive goodies. So, to start as we mean to go on, let's run down some of the best gadgety stocking fillers that you can get for under £100.
Can I start the bidding?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of a brand called 8-Bit Do. I mean, Ooh. when When the Americans say it, they call it 8-bit dough. So I don't know why, because it's D-O. But anyway, I might be pronouncing it wrong. They make loads of really cool gaming controllers generally and other bits and pieces. I'll tell you what I have got by them. This is not what I was going to recommend, but I've got a mouse and it's styled after a Game Boy. It's a beautiful thing. It looks, imagine if you got a Game Boy, an original Game Boy, and you melted it down in a special machine and it came out as a mouse for your computer. That's what it looks like. Incredible. Really stylish, high quality, quirky, interesting, cool items.
That sounds cool, but we're not talking about that one now, no?
No, what we're talking about is the ultimate Bluetooth controller, called the Ultimate, the 8-bit do Ultimate controller. So, as you know, the world of controllers is full of contenders. And generally, if you're playing on a PC or obviously an Xbox, then you're going to use an Xbox controller. If you're on a PS5, you might use a PS5 controller. And I think it's fair to say that Xbox controllers have the kind of PC market sewn up, as well as the Xbox itself. Relatively inexpensive, really good to use, really easy to configure. Some people use a PS5 controller with their PC. You can configure it. It's a little bit fiddly, but you can do it. And then you've got literally 1,000 other brands that are all contending for your business, right? Well, here's one that I, with all of my gaming acumen, recommend. And it's called the Ultimate from 8-bit do. It's a Bluetooth controller. It charges up via USB-C. Looks a little bit like a cross between, in terms of its the real estate of the front of it, where the business end of the controller. It's kind of a love child of the Switch Pro controller and an Xbox controller. It's got something called Hall effect sensors. So again, I don't know much about this, but I know that they're not subject to controller drift, which is such a pain in the what's it. It's really annoying when you've got a really good controller, especially if you've got a Switch and you get controller drift on it. I mean, the unit's almost unusable. So that's good. This particular technology is not subject to that, which comes in over time. Vibration control, motion control. I know they make a version that works with PCs, with your Steam account, and also with Switch. But basically, roundabout, you'll get quite a bit of change from £50. And I'm telling you, the 8-bit do Ultimate controller is an absolute bang fire winner. In terms of a good quality, great player experience. Mm.
Thank you, Jason.
As an endorsement. Excellent. Yeah. Right. Gosh.
John, what have you got?
Well, I was thinking DJI, which, as you know, is always a name we always associate with drones, but they also make an awful lot of wonderful accessories to help you make superb video with your smartphone as well. And I think people often forget this. And so I'm going to suggest the, because it fits in under £100, just at the recommended price, is their Osmo Mobile 6 Smartphone Stabilizer, which really makes smartphone video look so professional. They've got this little 3-axis stabilization that's really good. It's like a mini gimbal for your smartphone with an extension rod, so it's also very useful when you're doing those pieces of camera you need to do. And smartphone stabilization has come on so well in leaps and bounds, but you can still often get that footstep effect, those things as you go around. Whereas this really makes a difference, I think, and is very good value, very portable, very foldable. Very intuitive, I think, with the software. It tracks fairly well, or pretty well, or automatically. I mean, I think the battery life on some of the Insta 360 ones is a bit better. This gives you about 6.5 hours, but not as competitively priced as the DJI one. So I think that's what I'd put on my list. Yeah,
and the price was that was, did you say, about 85?
Well, the recommended price is just under £100, but I've seen it on Amazon for 85.
You know, because if you've got someone that's into photography or wants to maybe start doing some content or whatever, or some landscape stuff or some nature stuff with video in the new year, that would make a great present, wouldn't it?
It would be great to really make your video with a phone look really professional, I think.
Okay, I've got a proper cheap and cheerful for you here. I don't know if you've heard of this, though. The Tilemate Bluetooth tracker. Don't know if any of you guys have actually used those. I've got them in my suitcase.
Have you?
Yeah, I have, because of all the travelling that I do. So basically, it's a useful gadget to help locate lost items like your phone, your key, wallet, whatever, but I put it in my suitcase. So it connects to your smartphone via Bluetooth, and it can locate items within 250 feet when you're in range. When you're out of range, it utilises the Tile network to help locate your item through all different users. So you can,
That's crazy.
It's really great. You can use the Tile app to ring your mate tracker when nearby, helping you find the items via sound. You can revert. It's got like a reverse finding feature. So if you double press the button on the Tilemate to make your phone ring, even if it's on silent, then you can find it. It's water resistant. It's got a replacement battery. Yeah. Talking of smart homes earlier, it's got smart home integration. So it works with Amazon Alexa, Siri, Google Assistant. So that enables you to find it as well. I don't know what else to tell you.
I love
really.
It. I need it on my glasses, but might look a bit stupid. I never know where I've put them. And because I can't see, I can't find them.
Socks, tweezers, glasses, nail scissors. No. But yeah, it's just a really nice little secret Santa if you're doing something in the office.
I agree.
Because it's £20 and, yes. and they work really well.
Great yes. idea.
Yes. And the reverse finds really, because that's when you miss on the Apple tags. Well, you always miss the fact you can't find your phone. I've got my tag, but I haven't got my phone. Where is it?
Yeah, exactly. And they're quite small, these, are they?
Yeah, they're like half the size of a credit card. And they sometimes you can get them with a little key ring as well.
Right, okay. So you could pay. You could sort of attach one to a phone, possibly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I quite fancy that.
Yeah, or you stick it in your wallet. Or like you say, you know, stick it in your suitcase, because you can find out if your suitcase hasn't turned up, whether it's still over in, you know, Timbuktu or not.
Which travel to.
Which I've literally done a podcast from. Right, Otis, in your own home, what you got?
Yeah, just to say, I use similar tech in the car, so I can remember where I've left it in the car park. So as long as I can remember which car park I've parked in,
which
I
car
can
you
use
own.
My tiles
classic,
and my bits.
Doesn't car
I can,
do that?
I can remember which bay I've put it in. Yeah, they're priceless for that.
Doesn't CarPlay do that anyway, Otis? I
can't ruin your routine. With CarPlay.
My what? Good man. You don't get on with CarPlay?
Yeah, I don't have a car with CarPlay, no.
Not in the Tiguan?
No, the very old one.
Oh, right, sorry.
Otis, do you have an offering?
I do have an offering. It's the Magic Bullet Ooh. Air fryer.
Why am I not surprised?
Otis and an air fryer.
I mean, what a weird thing for you to bring up.
Who else was going to offer up an air fryer? But this one is a more simple affair with dial controls and a compact design, so perfect for two people. Small enough to fit on your worktop without causing too much of an eyesore. We may have some people in our lives who like streamlines and clear countertops, but that's another conversation. You can also find you could also put it away neatly without it taking up too much space. John, I might need your help for this one. It has a capacity of 2.5 quarts. What's
quarts?
A quart?
Well, what's a quart? Well, is that two pints a quart?
Can you fit a chicken in that?
Yeah. Depends on the size.
Could you?
Of your chicken.
Could you convert that into chickens, please?
In terms of chickens, because that's what people measure food.
Could you convert that into spicy chicken?
I would estimate it's a chicken fit for maybe two to three people. Okay, it has user-friendly controls, compact design. It's quick and efficient. Although you may need to leave your food in for slightly longer than some of the larger air fryers with higher wattage.
What's it called again, and how much is it, please?
It is called the Magic Bullet air fryer, and it's just under £70.
Very Ooh. Good. Well, very, very good.
Yeah, that's a good
What
price
a great start
for an air fryer, isn't it?
To the show. Yes. Merry Christmas. One and all. And little tiny Tim, hey? There you are. You see, you're out of the window, you miserable old what's it, and you're chucking a... Get me the largest spicy chicken for my ninja what's it.
Temper your largeness. It's still got to be small enough to fit in your Magic Bullet.
Desk sized.
And also, it wasn't a ninja. Right, we hope that's given you some inspiration for the gadget fan in your life. But now it's time to share our very own gifts with each other. Now, while some of these, we've broken the £100 stocking filler threshold because we think we're worth it, they should also serve as some great ideas for more present ideas.
That's
so,
the idea.
Without further ado then, John, in the Secret Santa, I had you and this little number.
It's substantial and weighty.
Isn't
not
it?
Not a pair of socks.
Ooh. No, I find socks quite useful. Christmas the Kodak point. Mini... sorry, Otis. The Kodak Mini Shot 4 Era instant camera and photo printer. Well, this is really interesting. I'll tell you why I think it's really interesting.
Oh, go on then.
Because I always think of Instax as the default choice for instant cameras, but people always say, John, they are a bit expensive, aren't they? It's about sort of 80p a shot. And,
right.
Whereas this...
take a
look
at this.
Slightly absurdly big.
It's massive! Look at the size of it! Can I just say, I'm aware that I haven't been doing my normal job of letting the audio listeners in on... John has just taken out a comic comedically oversized Kodak instant camera. I mean, it's...
I know, I've seen pictures of these. But
look how big it is. It's look, how big is it, Susie?
Well, yes, it's
it's sizable.
It's like a, seven-inch vinyl. Well, I mean, it's not
it's
far
the size
off.
Of an old seven-inch single for those of a certain yes, age. And it's obviously an instant camera and photo printer all in one that offers a kind of fresh twist, if you like, on instant photography.
It but is, it's got a printer in there.
It's got the printer
in. It's got an inkjet printer that's why in the side.
That's why it's so big.
But why do you have to make everything big, like the Kodak logo? Look at the lens. Because it's massive.
It creates 4x4-inch photographs instantly. Ah, that's why it's so big. Okay.
And the, one of the good things about these photos is they cost about 30p each as opposed to 80p, which is why I think it's fascinating to see how they compare. I've switched it on. Is it warming up?
Well, it should be.
It's called the MS400. It says that in big red letters on the front.
Ready?
So there we are. And it's got face recognition. It should have anyway.
So John's taking a photo in case it's not obvious.
Now, I can't see it either. Is it 4x4 inches or 4x4 meters? Because it sounds massive.
Can you show Otis it, John?
I can. Is it Otis in there? There,
John is now showing me the camera. It's 4x4 meters.
It's huge.
Guys, I got this especially for John.
I don't mean to be rude. You've done a great job. He's very happy. Look,
I'm very happy. I'm absolutely delighted. Print, copy one. Warming up. We're warming up.
Yes. Can we hold it in front of camera, John? These over here.
We're warming up.
In case anyone can't see it.
So it has got autofocus and face detection.
It has. I'd sense the autofocus going on, not necessarily the face detection, but...
The prints are laminated. They were laminated with a 4-pass technology, yes, making them fingerprint and water resistant.
Different colours. I think it's got that lovely sort of printout, the picture, and the picture gradually emerges. That's fun.
Do you know what? If your goal
another one
was to inspire, what I'm saying. It's like Tiny Tim on Christmas morning.
I'm quite warming to it in its way. Yes.
I love the fact that you can see it developing your memory in front of you.
Yes. So it's going in for it's going and it's telling you what it's doing. It's doing a cyan lap at the moment.
There you go. It's doing it's all
and now
the colours.
It's laminating.
Right, so you can connect it to your mobile device via Bluetooth and print photos directly from your gallery as well, making it compatible with both iPhone and Android devices. How's the picture?
Yes, it's a bit surreal.
John just gurned when he saw the output.
Shall I try?
It's produced the most blurred picture ever.
I think the trouble is because we're very well lit in this scenario,
and we're jumping about like idiots.
And we were moving around like idiots. But you are. But the thing is, you are doing that in real life, moving around.
Yes, but I mean, sometimes you're unlucky. You might have just been unlucky. We're about to find out.
It takes a digital shot as well as the.
He's dropped it on the floor, face down. He dropped it.
Good job. It's a good job. It's tough. I'm afraid that's also a bit blurred.
Oh my God!
I don't know what's going wrong.
Maybe we're blurred. Maybe Jason and I are just buffering in real life.
Because look, it's just doing blurred photographs.
Do you know what? Can
Try you do it, and you'll get everything in focus, unlike me.
I'm just wondering whether it's our lighting setup.
I'm
going to take a picture of our producer, who's not lit. So everybody, it's like the Stig. Let's try that. This is the last chance you've got.
So there's the yellow layer. It's just printed.
So, I'll just show you. So it's going through its second cycle now, which is maybe the cyan. I'm not sure. Mm. Does it do two and then
four counting the lamination.
Oh, it's got to laminate.
I think. Is it because the light plate? Yours is now all sharp. Is it or not? I don't know.
Hope so.
I want this to work because I love this. I love it.
I need to grab it on this one.
It's certainly different, isn't it?
Laminating.
There
we go. You see, the problem is, it was our lighting because look at that. This is our producer.
That's a good photo, isn't it?
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's better, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Give that to your mum. There you go. Oh. There you go, Tom.
What a lovely thought.
Anyway, happy Christmas.
Thank you very much. I shall enjoy exploring it. Now, I've got something for you, Jason, which I think ties in perfectly with your interests.
You know, at Christmas, you sometimes get that sort of slightly cringy feeling when, you know, certain people buy you a present, like Nana. You're like, "Hi, Nana, yeah, thanks ever so much." And it's a peppermint-flavoured foot bath. And you're like, "That's just what I wanted. Thanks very much." I have none of those fears with John Bentley. I have none of those fears. I know this is going to nail it. I just know it. I feel so confident.
Not sure about the wrapping up, John. Yes.
Oh, ah,
you've done
right.
a good job, John.
Need to work.
So excited.
Oh, sorry.
Genuinely.
I did do some research into this.
Of course you did.
That's what I love about him. He does be...
It's John? In, well, it is a GameSir G8 Galileo mobile game controller.
Round of applause.
Oh.
John, you have nailed it. God bless you. And God bless Tiny Tim.
Ooh.
Look at that. Absolutely amazing. Ah. It's one of the leading mobile phone game controllers on the market. It turns your USB-C equipped gaming device, be it iPhone or Android. I'm guessing it does both. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. I checked that. Yes.
What else does it do, John? And I'll open it.
Well, I mean, it's got its own app, which allows button remapping and controller functionality for games that don't natively support controllers, which I thought was quite useful. And features large, comfortable palm rests. And it's got programmable buttons, Hall effect analog sticks for precise movement.
Mm. That is beautiful.
Yeah, the sticks are good. Are they Hall effect?
Yes.
Are they? Yeah, so they're not subject to stick drift, which I like. You've got extra knobs, which is always important.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Depending on your play style. Now, John, it's in all seriousness, it's an absolutely stunning piece of kit.
Ooh.
And it's sort of I would say sort of genre leading. It's one of the leading devices. There are a few on the market because now, of course, you pay so much money, don't you, for your phone? I mean, we know because we started this series of the Gadget Show podcast with the release of the new iPhone. When you're paying upwards of £1,000 for something with a state-of-the-art piece of silicon on it, you can play really great games on it. And with things like Game Pass, which this is compatible with.
Yep, and it's under 100 quid. It's about 80 quid.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, thank you, my friend. And
thank you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. And you don't need to worry. I've got you the peppermint footpath as well.
You haven't.
Yes.
You little star.
He's a minx.
Okay, I'm very excited because now it's my turn to give a gift. And I'm giving you... my secret Santa. There you go, Otis. Just grab that. Pull it back, Susie. You'll want this. It's, he's not here. He didn't make it into the studio. Sod him.
Otis.
Oh, no, go on. Please open it.
Happy Christmas, mate. What you've got there...
I'll open it for you.
...is the Whoop 4.0. Well Ooh. Done, Otis. You being the fittest member of the team, you'll know all about the Whoop, which is a... I was going to say wrist-mounted... fitness tracker, but you can actually wear it on your bicep. You can wear it in all kinds of different ways. What's brilliant about this is, I would say that of all the fitness trackers that I've seen, it's the one that you never take off. You can actually charge.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this, Otis?
I may have.
Are you familiar with this?
You tested it.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
You charge the device while it's on your body.
You do? Isn't that cool?
Oh, really?
You never, never, never take it off. And they've got a set of algorithms that give you more biometric readings than your average fitness tracker. Including strain, as well as, you know, heart rate variability, and all sorts of other sensors on board to help with those.
And I know, this, I know.
It's beautifully packaged. I'm going to tell you that.
I knew you'd like this, Susie. I might have been something to do with incentivizing Otis's kids to insist that he stayed at home so that you could have this. So he has to do the Zoom thing. She's broken it. She's dropped it.
That's what you get. That's what you get, Jace.
So while Susie tries to retrieve your Christmas present,
I just
Otis,
think he trod on it as well.
I remember reading about this, and they've done a lot of work around sleep, haven't they? And I know that that's a big thing for you in terms of fitness and recovery and that sort of thing.
Sleep is the great healer. Whatever you're doing with regards to exercise, whether it's endurance exercise, if it's resistance exercise, whatever you're doing, rest is fundamentally important, not just for physical recovery, but also for mental health. There is a huge emphasis in all of the teachings, because there are videos as well, which you can click onto in the app relative to the readings that you're getting. There is a huge emphasis put on recovery.
I can see why you would leave it on all the time, because it's actually quite beautiful.
It's really
in
elegant.
A sort of sporty way. It's very beautiful.
Yes.
And I've obviously got the charger here that you just pop on top, don't you?
Isn't that clever?
It's really.
You
really
can
cool.
take it off if you want to, but they just do it. And there's
for Otis though. Could
I think we should talk about that. Okay. Oh, yes. I saw a chap charging it while he was having a shower.
I wonder what you're going to say.
I saw a chap in the shower. Just as a separate story. No, it's an amazing design. It's very different. They've clearly looked at this massive burgeoning market of, you know, fitness wearables, and they're taking a different approach to that, and for that I commend them. And obviously, Susie, to make it clear, and Otis, I'm guessing you already know this, that all the data you get from your phone,
that's it,
and so you know that, so you don't have to have the a glass screen or the weight or the complexity of a screen on your wrist. All that heavy lifting is done by your phone.
The strap, the strap is actually very unobtrusive. You can, the idea is that you wear it and forget about it, and that it doesn't offer any additional distraction to you during your day. You just go on about your business, get on with your exercise, and when you do have the time, or when you do make the time to have a look at some of your stats and your readouts, you do so on an easily readable screen on your smart device.
And also you don't get the feeling you're being nagged all the time, which I often find...
Correct. You can set an alarm which it will gently vibrate on your wrist, but that's about it.
I've just repackaged it for you as if I've never entered your box.
You're so sweet, Susie. Merry Christmas, mate.
Thanks, guys. Okay, my turn to give my present, and Susie, it's for you. Now, I was listening to your episode, or one of your episodes, a few weeks back, and this gave me the inspiration. So I've shipped it up for you today, and it is...
Ooh. Hang on, sorry.
Just opening it, Otis.
Come on, hurry up.
Susie's ripping open a square-shaped box.
Yes!
I'm so excited about this. This is Kindle ColourSoft.
Well done, Otis.
I really was excited about this.
Yeah,
Thank you
I saw
so much.
How much you loved the sound of it. It is Amazon's first colour e-reader, and it's offering an enhanced experience with vibrant colours, book covers, images, and highlights. Really good if you're into graphic novels as well, because you get to interact with all of that beautiful artwork. Mm. It's a 7-inch display. It has some waterproofing, wireless charging, and an impressive battery life of up to 8 weeks.
If you're travelling, do you know what? I'm going to put my glasses on. I've just opened it and I've just turned it on. I've woken it up.
This is great.
The colours on it are so gorgeous.
It's really,
it's
really
a game changer.
Beautiful.
I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Even if you're just reading a cookery book or something, you want to see the pictures of what your cookery is meant to look like. I love this. Otis, this is one of the best things that anybody's ever bought me. Honestly.
You are very welcome. Merry Christmas to you and to Tiny Tim.
Mind you, I do get a lot of
shit. Don't forget
presents,
about
so
Bob Cratchit.
You too, Bob.
Okay, that's it for our Secret Santa. Now it's time to give the gift of audio to one of our lucky listeners or viewers.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks to our partner JBL, we've got a very special prize to give away. One pair of their Tour Pro 3 earbuds. We put a shout out on our socials a few weeks ago for your chance to win a pair of these. And Stephen Green answered the call. But,
well done, Stephen.
Well done. Here's the catch, though. Your chance of winning these, Stephen, rests in the hands of our tech experts, John and Otis.
Hey! Yes, for Stephen to stand a chance of winning the earbuds, we're going to play 10 iconic tech sounds. And Otis and John, you've got to name at least 5 of the companies behind them.
Excellent.
If you do that, then, yeah, I know, it's a tricky order. Stephen gets the earbuds.
Once we've played the sound, we'll be giving you 4 options to choose from. So it's multiple choice. And to listen to these sounds, here's Stephen's potential prize. I'm just picking up the box here on YouTube. The Tour Pro 3 earbuds. Now, this is a good job. As Jason has downloaded an annoying noise soundboard to try and distract John and Otis. But the Tour Pro 3 adaptive noise cancelling should block it out in its stride, okay? Ooh. So if you get stuck, in true Who Wants to Be a Millionaire fashion, you've also got lifelines. 3 in our case, ask me, ask Jason, and 50-50.
God, bloody complicated.
There's nothing complicated about it. You might as well package up those earbuds and send them off, mate. He's already won. Hey, multiple choice of 4, 3 lifelines.
See, glad.
Now that's what
I'm
Stephen
glad
wants
you're
to
confident.
Hear.
He's very positive. Right, John, put your Tour Pro 3s in. Here you go.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much. And we shall be ready to commence the quiz.
Ready.
Right, John's got his earbuds in. So the gadget team are ready on behalf of Stephen. Are you ready
Good
there,
luck,
Otis?
Stephen. I'm ready in here.
Here we go then. In 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I think I just about made that one out, John. Did you hear that?
I did hear it. Yes. It didn't ring any bells for me. What? But you know it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure when you turned on your Sega Mega Drive, that was the sound that greeted you.
Well, I'm with you on that.
Thank you, John. The iconic Sega boot up sound used on the Sega Genesis, otherwise known as the Sega Mega Drive.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Oh,
very good.
Okay.
Was actually a result of a happy accident. Originally, it was added to deter third-party developers from releasing unauthorized games on the platform. Well done, boys. Stephen, back of the net. And just because I didn't mention it, the other options were Atari, Nintendo, and Namco, but you didn't know that because you got it right. Well done.
Mm. Ready for number two?
Yep.
Yep.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Ooh. Now. Now we're more in Microsoft territory, aren't we, I think?
Not Microsoft.
Oh, no, let's hear what the options are.
Yeah, options are...
NVIDIA, Intel, Dell, Samsung.
Ooh.
I'm leaning towards Intel. John, what do you think?
What were they again? I don't think they're Samsung, certainly not Samsung.
NVIDIA.
I think Intel. So whenever you had a TV Intel commercial and whatever product they were advertising, if it had the Intel something processor,
Dell.
You'd get that
so that's
sound
why
bite
that,
at the end.
That's why I'm thinking. That's why I'm thinking laptops and computers, isn't it? Because it's an Intel inside thing, sort of.
Yeah. Can we have an answer, please, gentlemen?
Well, I'm happy to go with Intel.
We're going with Intel.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just about to say that the Intel bomb,
Johnny, we're doing
created
well, Johnny,
in 1994, was made as part of a marketing campaign to promote Intel's Pentium processors. Well done, boys. Congratulations, Stephen, you little superstar.
From two, Stephen. This is going very
well. Let me just get my annoying sounds up again. Hang on.
Are you ready for number three, boys?
Hang on. Yes. 1 second. Here we go.
Okay, here we go then.
Okay, ready?
In 3, 2, 1.
It's a lovely sound, isn't
Thank
it?
You.
Yes, and that's a key point. That's these, very
hey,
key.
These annoying sounds work, don't they?
Yeah, they do actually. They're quite off-putting.
I know I'm off track with this because
right,
this sound,
do you want the multiple,
like
do you want the multiple choice?
The beginning of a movie.
Do you want the options?
Yes, Otis is on the right lines.
Does it sound like the beginning of a movie?
Go on.
Can I give you some options, Otis?
Yes, I think we need the options. Right.
Dolby.
Ooh.
THX. Skywalker sound. DTS.
Ah, it's one. It's when you're in a cinema and the cinema is telling you what sound you're going to be experiencing the movie in. But I don't know which one of the choices it is.
I mean, God, is it Dolby THX or DTS?
I think
Dolby THX. Skywalker sound.
I'm more Dolby, but I don't.
DTS.
Don't forget, you've got lifelines. You can ask me, you can ask Jason, you can go 50-50. Which I wouldn't suggest
think,
in this option.
Oh, God. I think I'm going to go for Dolby, but I've got to probably...
So sorry.
Oh. That's an incorrect...
I'm so sorry. You could have gone 50-50, couldn't they? But you didn't... I mean, I admire that you went for it. Well done, boys. But unfortunately, it's not the right answer. The correct answer is the iconic THX.
Oh, God!
It was the other one.
That was the other one I was going to...
Sound, which famously played in theatres to showcase the sound system's quality.
George Lucas is Marvel's creator with its original THX 1138 film.
And it was to make you
all that stuff.
Like you were, you know, ready to experience a big kind of...
All I'm going to say, though, is those earbuds don't come easy. You know, you've got to work for it. So you've had two successes, Stephen, from the boys. They just missed the mark with that one.
Here comes number four. 3, 2, 1. Sounds are so annoying.
That, Johnny boy, yes. I think is another gaming one. Can we hear the multiple choice, please?
Here's your multiple choice from Jace.
PlayStation 1, Nintendo 64, Windows XP, Sega Dreamcast.
It's one of the first two, Johnny.
Well, it's certainly not Windows XP. So. No.
And it's not Dreamcast either, because I didn't have one, but I'm familiar with that. With that sound. So the first two was PlayStation
1, Nintendo 64, ooh, Windows XP, Sega Dreamcast.
50-50, please.
Okay, here goes with your 50-50. PlayStation 1, Nintendo 64.
If you're right on these 50-50s,
you're lucky I can't see your face.
It's always two.
Right, going to take a punt, John. Are you happy for me to do it?
I'm very happy for you to do it. Yes, absolutely.
I'm going for the PS, the PlayStation.
The correct answer is...
Yay!
The PlayStation 1 intro sound, that memorable chime, followed by an ethereal sweep of sound, was designed to evoke a sense of serenity and mystery and promote massage.
Ooh.
Oh, was it?
I know I made that. I made that last bit up. Right, well done, guys.
Right, you've got 3 out of 4. Let's move on, because I'm aware that this is becoming the longest quiz in history. So here comes sound number 5. 3, 2, 1. Would you like to hear the multiple choices?
Yes, please.
Jace?
Mac OS X, Amiga OS, IBM, Windows 95.
I mean, my feeling is it's Windows 95, but I'm... Because I sort of recognise it.
That was your gut instinct, wasn't it?
It was, yes, but I... But on the other hand, it could easily... What was the multiple choice again?
Mac OS X.
I don't think
Amiga
it's...
OS. IBM, Windows 95.
Ooh, that sounds like a Windows thing at the end to me. That bing, bing, bing.
Let's have an answer then, please.
I think I'll have to get... I'm going to go with Windows.
Well, what can I say other than... Windows 95 startup sound is one of the most recognisable in computing history. It was composed by renowned ambient musician Brian Eno.
Wow.
Interestingly, Eno created this futuristic 6-second sound using... a Mac. How ironic is that? Well done, boss. Now, how many does that mean they've got in total,
well,
Susie?
Well, Jason, it means they've got 4, which means they only need to get one more for Stephen to win the prize.
Come on, John.
So here comes sound number 6. Come on, guys, if you get this, he's won. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, Jason, thank you. Any ideas, chaps?
No, none.
What?
Really?
None.
Well, that I mean, it almost sounds like another Windows one, but it didn't.
Here's your multiple choice, Jace.
iPhone, Ericsson, Nokia, BlackBerry.
You've probably had one of all of those in the past.
Yeah.
Can we hear it again, please? Is it actually Nokia of all these?
Is it Nokia?
I thought you'd have got this one straight away.
Ericsson? I've had that tone on a phone, but I don't know which one
it was. What are the options again?
The options are iPhone.
Nope.
Ericsson.
Sorry.
Nokia. BlackBerry.
I think it's Nokia, isn't it? I mean, it's Nokia, but it's not. The problem is we always think of Nokia in terms of ringtones. We don't think in terms of what the thing does as it...
As it powers up.
As it powers up, and I think it's that.
Do you think it's Nokia?
Well, yes.
All right, we're going with Nokia.
I get to go with Nokia.
Okay, Jason, is it Nokia?
Well, what I'd like to say is...
Yes!
The Nokia boot up sound, also known as the Nokia tune, is one of the most recognisable mobile phone sounds ever. It actually comes from a classical guitar piece called Gran Vals by Spanish composer Francisco Tarriga, written in 1902. Ah. Susie, where are we with the scores?
Well, it means they have scored 5.
Yay!
Which means Stephen has won the prize. The JBL Tall Pro Earbud.
Yes.
Well done. Congratulations.
Well done, Stephen.
They've done you proud. Come on, John, lose
Come
it.
Come on,
oh, yes.
lose
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. Come on, John.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His name is Stephen, yeah? And we're giving him some gadgets. Stephen, you didn't let us down, boys. Well done, John. Thank you, Otis.
You're welcome.
So I can confirm that John and Otis got 5 out of 6. So, Stephen, these are winging their way to you as I speak. John, did you actually hear any of Jason's annoying noises with the noise cancellation?
Only a very distant whisper. Oh,
that's my favourite was the licking dog. The licking dog was the one that put me off.
Okay.
Well done, boys.
If you're watching or you're listening, by the way, you too can also win a pair because we're hosting another Tech Sounds quiz just for you. All of the info can be found in the description for this episode on our socials and on our Patreon page. So best of luck.
Excellent.
Okay, so to wrap up this special episode of The Gadget Show, I thought I'd throw in a little bit of nostalgia on Christmas memories, just a line from each of you. So one of my favourites, techie Christmas memory, was in 1977, where I was given a Polaroid camera and a Snoopy radio. And that set me up. I tell you what, that put me on the tech path.
Oh, I love it. Ooh. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Have you got one?
Yeah, either my Casio watch that I got, had a calculator on it. It would have been sort of 1980, I guess. Or my Panasonic sort of ghetto blaster so I could go out breakdancing in the streets. Seriously, red. It was bright red. It was beautiful.
Fabulous.
I remember my Philips electronic engineering set that you could build things with, like a radio and so on.
Oh, how lovely.
Like about 1967.
Oh, that's fabulous,
I love
John.
I love it, John.
And finally, the O-Dog.
For me, it was Speaker Maths from Texas Instruments. I was given that one Christmas, and that has turned me into the scientific maths whiz that you witnessed before you.
Wow. Oh, that's a great memory. Hey,
did it actually have any batteries? Did you manage to use it?
You can hack that. You can chip tune that bad boy and make some dance tunes with it, you know.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap on our festive Gadget Show podcast special. But our very big thank you to John Bentley and to Otis Dealey for their festive cheer and gadget wisdom. Thank you, gentlemen.
No, it was really lovely. And I'm sure you'll agree, it evoked a sense of some of those cool gadget specials that we did back in the day on The Gadget Show. From all of us here on The Gadget Show podcast, please have a very Merry Christmas and, of course, a tech-filled new year. And we'll see you on the other side.
Mwah. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Who said that?
No idea.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.